Good morning. This is Tom Merritt, host of Daily Tech News Show, Cord Killers and Current Geek, and author of Pilot X, now available at TomMerrittBooks.com. And you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for May 30th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, you and I, we went to Chicago. We went to the Tesla dealership in Chicago, and we got to sit in a Tesla.
Well, they had an open house.
Yes.
And we had a great time.
Yes, we did.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. They have one, they have a great sales staff there.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to sit in the Model X
and
the Model S.
Yes. Both and, the S and the X.
And for those, and then this is not the $35,000 one that they're coming out with shortly.
That's the Model 3.
Okay. So the one, let's talk about the sports car real quickly because that was the Model S.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's a sports car, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful automobile.
I enjoy that right next to the steering wheel, we've got this great panel.
Love it.
And we were, you know, you could basically talk to it and say, hey, listen, give us directions to Orlando or give us directions somewhere. And then along there, one of the real concerns we have with Teslas is typically, could we take this on a trip?
Because it's a fully electric vehicle, yet there's no fuel involved.
That's right. And anyway, they have these superchargers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you the difference between a supercharger and a regular charger. With a regular charger, it would take a couple days to fill up your vehicle with electricity.
Correct.
With a supercharger, 30 minutes.
And full tank, ready to go, about 250 miles.
And the way you work this is, it will tell you where you will stop. And so you're driving down the highway.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm thinking more, like I said, around Chicago, there's plenty of chargers around. But when you get on the highway, that's where it kind of gets squirrely.
If
but anyway,
you're doing a full road trip, if you're doing a summer road trip, then you have to really think about getting that electricity at the right places.
So our vehicle was not fully charged. So it was going to say you're going to stop in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
It has the place. It was right off the highway. And you would plug in. It takes about a half hour.
Get a sandwich.
So basically you stand up, you get some water, get some coffee or something.
Which you would do normally on a road trip anyway.
You could. But anyway, the idea is certainly it's not out of range of a possibility. Now, the X is the one that I really like because it's kind of SUV-ish.
Yeah.
And
it's their crossover vehicle. That's why they call it the X.
Anyway, they've got this beautiful panoramic window.
The windshield is beautiful. Oh. It goes up and above you so that you have this full view unobstructed.
That's right. Now, part of it is shielded, so it's got the UV protection.
Uh-huh.
But it is, I mean, when you sit in it, you get this airy feel.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like a spaceship.
It being in a spaceship. It is that feeling of the future. This is the vehicle of the future in a lot of ways.
Well, my initial feeling going in there was, yeah, still we don't have enough mileage to make this work. Like when you fill up a tank of fuel in my vehicle, I can get between 350 and 400 miles out of that. With this, you fill up the electricity and you can get, was it 250?
250 is what
they're... 350.
No, they're promising 250 right now.
Okay.
You want 350.
All right, regardless. With the superchargers around, it seems like I left there going, oh, I could do this.
It's much more doable in your mind than it was before we went and visited. So I'm so glad we went and visited.
I would suggest that you go online, look up some of the reviews. Tesla is a new company. These are new vehicles. Obviously,
new technology.
There's something very special about it, but you know there's also some challenges that some people are having, and you probably want to read about them.
I just want the next generation of the autopilot, so the thing can drive me to Orlando without me thinking about it at all.
That's coming.
It's coming. It's right around the corner. Brings us to our film 11, our movie of the week, and all I've been doing all week is watching Twin Peaks.
No, this is
that's Twilight Zone.
Oh, that's right. Well, all the airy music.
Yes.
And Steve's really can't tell whether things are true or not now. He's just,
I don't know. I'm not sure what's true anymore after watching the return of Twin Peaks on Showtime. You can listen to our panel. We got together our panel of experts and we talked about Twin Peaks, and most of it was me asking them questions and them staring at me.
with lots of smoke around you and lava lamps.
Just a lot of air in between the questions. That's what you get from Twin Peaks.
And that's a real challenge with Twin Peaks is, while my understanding from listening to your panel discussion, there was a very straightforward story on some level.
On some level, but we don't know what that level is.
But the challenge is, this is 18 parts?
18 hours. This is an 18-hour movie that David Lynch and Mark Frost have put together, this return of Twin Peaks, and it is true David Lynch and Mark Frost. If you love David Lynch's work in the past, you will love this.
So he'll wrap it up in a bow at the end, and you still won't know what's going to happen. Or what happens.
Generally speaking, he has wrapped up all of his stories with a bow at the end, but that bow is so complex that you have to go through it again in order to see where the bow came from. That's good filmmaking in a lot of ways. That's good for ticket sales. I know this is a TV show, not a movie, but if I have to watch this two or three times to get it, that's good.
And that's on Showtime. And you can get that either through an app or you can get through your services, your cable services.
Yeah, if you've got cable, you can do that. I don't have cable, so I went through Hulu. The nice part about Hulu is I, first of all, got a free month of Showtime, so I'm going to watch this for free for the first month. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I can use my Hulu to authenticate onto Showtime's app. Really? So I have full access to full Showtime because I am authenticating as a Showtime subscriber.
And you'll grab whatever you can while you're there.
And I've watched a few movies as a result. That's right.
Okay.
How about you? What have you been watching?
Well, my daughter and I watched Dirty Dancing on ABC.
That was the live event.
That was the live. I'd love to say it's a musical. It's kind of a mixture of the musical that was made from the movie,
right,
and the movie.
Yeah.
So we get a little bit of both there. Was this a strong? This is like a 3-hour event with commercials.
Uh-huh.
This is long, and that was the first thing my daughter said. This is really long. I do think that there is something that is there. They did a nice cast for this.
Abigail Breslin.
That's right. The dances weren't as sexy as that. You know, obviously you got back in the original one,
and not even close to Havana Nights, the Dirty Dancing sequel.
No. Of course. As we all would.
Oh boy.
As we all know. I do think that there was a lot of subplots going on in this movie that did not need to be there, or in this musical that didn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have stayed with the class system, it would have worked real well. If you know the story, obviously there is a story going on with a young person who's becoming a woman. That's Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
Her character is not quite a woman, but not quite a child.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Exactly. We're dealing with Abigail's mom. Or baby's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And baby's mom is, you know, sort of almost an empty nester. And she says something really poignant to her husband. She goes, they eventually ask for a divorce, but I'd rather be alone than lonely.
Mm.
So obviously sort of rediscovering that family.
That's what vacations are all about. That's what summer vacations do.
Yeah. And then we also have the mom that is played by the Married with Children.
Katie Sagal.
Yes. And she did a really good job. Now she is the one who went through with her divorce to her husband and was kind of having an affair with the love interest, the baby. But my point is that you get these three stories are all parallel, and then we also get the sort of the bad part of that too, because part of this story is a young lady is one of the workers there has to make a decision,
mm-hmm.
And then that decision gets botched up, and you know there's even from the original movie the scene where baby asks her father for money,
mm-hmm.
and then the father says, I trust you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make the decision there. Now, eventually, you know, when it comes out, what it was used for, how this works, this is a very divisive part for the daughter-father relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of eventually works out. And this is the part, I think, that what we see where she becomes the woman that she... Or the beginning of the woman that she's going to be. Now, you can watch it on Hulu if you want to watch it.
Yep.
As most of these events, from Hairspray to Grease,
Sound of Music,
Rocky Horror. Yeah. They certainly take away some of the bite of these are made for television.
Right.
They cast these things because they want to hit every demographic ever, because for a teen from a long time ago, and then they want to have the person from Disney so that all the kids can relate.
And in this one, we've got Billy Dee Williams himself shows up.
So Lando Calrissian plays. Yeah. And he's part of one of the subplots that probably could have been dropped. Not him.
Right.
But it just seems like, eventually just tighten up this story a little bit. I'm glad I watched it, but,
critics were not kind to this one. They're giving it about 30%.
Well, I would say probably that's about right. But then again, you're watching something on television. Mm-hmm. You can't have two masters on this.
Yeah.
With Dirty Dancing, the real thing of this, the charge of it, the story is kind of moves along, but really you're going for this sexy dancing. This really didn't have that type of a pop. In addition, when they move back and forth between the music of the movie, like Hungry Eyes and Time of My Life and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and the music of that era, where I think the music of that era is much stronger mm-hmm. than listen to some of the
80s.
Oh gosh. Anyway, so
maybe the 60s, huh?
Let's get to the new stuff.
So what's coming this week? We've got some big summer blockbuster movies. The biggest one this week, Wonder Woman, is finally hitting the theaters. Oh man. I'm excited about this one. I still have high expectations. Despite all of the other DC movies that were not great, I still have high expectations for Wonder Woman.
All right, so these are the things I've seen so far in the trailer. Where they have this dark brown, traditional DC Comics movie sort of
the
atmosphere.
The DC universe has been very dark.
Well, they've turned this up. It looks like that they have, the colors are brighter, the reds are red, the blues are blue.
Okay, that's good.
And this looks very similar to what they're trying to grab, it maybe is the Captain America feel from the Marvel.
Okay.
Where there's, we're going to be probably going World War II. A little bit Chris Pine's in it, so Captain Kirk himself.
Excellent.
Captain Kirk's playing Steve Trevor.
Trevor, Captain Kirk, one and the same.
And I do. I think that this is going to be big, and it probably is going to be well received.
I hope so. I really have high expectations. I am going to go see that one as soon as I possibly can.
Before we leave this, let me go ahead and do the Gail Simone quote that we got. She was a writer of Wonder Woman for a long, long time. Anyway, she said, if you want to stop an asteroid, you call Superman. If you need to solve a mystery, you call Batman. But if you need to stop a war, that's who you call, Wonder Woman. So mm-hmm. this is part of the Wonder Woman mythos.
I'm ready. It's a good mythos. It's a good storyline. And I look forward to this incarnation of it.
That's not the only World War II era story we got, do
we? Right. We've got another World War II, another D-Day adventure. This is called Churchill. Wow, Winston Churchill is just such a character. And another movie about him is probably going to be just as good as the others.
Yeah, I ended up listening to a gentleman give a talk on Winston Churchill over the last year. Fascinating, fascinating guy. There's a lot to learn. He was kicked out of basically England's leadership for a number of years, and that's where he wrote the History of England and drank a lot and stayed in bed a lot and
smoked a lot of cigars,
took a lot of baths. Eventually he came back for World War II and was the leader of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And then they basically kicked him back out and said, that's it. You helped us through the war. Get out of here.
Thank you for all your service, sir.
So this will be a lot of fun as far as the learning a little bit more about Churchill.
What a wonderful character. Also, another wonderful character coming to the theaters, Captain Underpants.
Man, we seem to have something for everybody. We got something for the masses with Wonder Woman.
Uh-huh.
We've got something a little intellectual with Churchill.
Yep.
And now we've got something for the family with Captain Underpants.
Yeah, Captain Underpants. Are you familiar with Captain Underpants?
I knew there was the book. I had girls, so my girls were not going to be into Captain Underpants. But you had boys, so that means that you read them.
My boys were very into Captain Underpants, and I think we're going to get to this film. I don't know that we're going to see it in the theater, though. I think maybe the time has passed for Captain Underpants in a lot of ways.
I would say so.
Because what happens with animation is it takes a few years. They say, this is a hot property. We're going to make make this movie, but it's going to take 3 years to make the animation.
Oh my goodness. If you have a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, mm-hmm. 8-year-old, you know, first, second, third, fourth grader.
They should be reading Captain Underpants, first of all.
Absolutely. And this would probably fall right into to what they would be interested in. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about the premise of it.
The idea of these mischievous boys who decide to hypnotize their principal and to convince the principal that he is a superhero. And then the principal saves the Earth in his underpants.
There you go. All right, and so let's end the this with one other. Well, there's plenty of movies coming out. This mm-hmm. is another one. This is for those who want the independent film and the sci-fi film.
Yeah, this one's called The Last Light of Orion. It's pretty standard sci-fi fare. The galaxy's out to get you, and you need to find a way to save the human race from extinction.
And this is an independent film. Just look for it. It's probably in your little art theater or something, yeah. Or maybe online. You never know.
There's lots of great characters that are out saving the universe, saving the galaxy. One piece at a time brings us to our book of the week. Our book this week is Pilot X by Tom Merritt.
Tom Merritt. Now tell me how you know Tom Merritt.
Tom Merritt is a friend of the show. He did our intro for this episode, and he is my news source for Daily Tech News. You go to dailytechnewsshow.com and listen to Tom Merritt explain to you all about the news of the day in the tech world. He's also on Cord Killers on Monday, so okay. I know all about how to watch TV without cable through Tom Merritt. He's also got Damn Fine Podcast, which is his Twin Peaks show, and on Fridays there's Current Geek. So yes, my podcatcher is full of Tom Merritt.
Well, he also is an author. He's written a number of books, but mm-hmm. this is his latest one.
This is his biggest one so far, that's for sure. This was published through Inkshares. And those of you who aren't familiar with Inkshares, it's a great way to publish work and get the crowd behind the work before it actually comes out. You're actually paying for your copy of the book before the author is done writing it.
All right, so the name of this book is Pilot X. Mm-hmm. Tell me what it's about.
It is a time traveler.
Oh, there's Steve, okay, right there.
Check. Who has a time travel vessel, a spaceship.
Up. Steve again.
Uh-huh. And the name of that spaceship is the Verity.
I guess Steve again?
Yeah. Let's go with Tom Merritt is a fan of Doctor Who.
What? Steve again.
And this book is Tom Merritt's homage to Doctor Who storytelling and the idea of a time traveling adventurer who saves the universe.
So Tom wrote a book for Steve,
yes,
that he released to the public.
Yes. Other people have actually read this as well. It's not just for me. It's actually been very successful. He's been really successful with this book.
And you read this through Kindle, right?
Yes, I got my Inkshares copy and read it digitally, and then I bought a Kindle copy through Amazon as well.
Really?
Yeah, so that I could, you know, bolster those numbers a little bit. You're welcome, Tom. It's a really good book. It's really interesting. Time travel books are hard to write.
No kidding. There's a lot going on.
There's so many different lines of storytelling to keep track of, and Tom does a really good, strong story here with the time travel.
And if you mess up, you can always go back and do it again.
That's true.
Oh!
That's true. The interesting fact of this book, the thing that's different is the naming conventions of this planet. Pilot X, his name is actually X, and then every time he gets a job, his first name changes to indicate that job.
So he could be Racer X.
I don't think he was Racer X at any point.
He wasn't Racer X? He
might have been. That might be the prequel. We might have to get a prequel book out of Tom where Racer X.
He was a racing guy, yeah, that would show up, you know, when they needed him most.
So Pilot X is only Pilot X for a portion of this book. He's other names during the course of this book, which are very intriguing. I love this book. I'm so glad that I got a chance to read it through Inkshares. You should really support local authors and authors who have great ideas through Inkshares.
And so would you recommend this to others?
Everybody who is a Doctor Who fan needs to read this book. Everybody who loves Tom Merritt has probably bought two copies like I have. This is a good time travel book if you love time travel books.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Brings us to our appetite, our app of the week. Speaking of travel and time.
Steve travels sometimes.
I travel. It is summer.
In fact, Fodor travels sometimes.
That's right. Right. Voters travel guides have been famous for a long time, probably 40, 50 years. Most people have heard of Voters travel guides. In fact, most people have walked up to me and said, oh, are you related to those travel guides? Well, no, unfortunately, I'm not. I would be a much richer person if I was. It's actually a common last name in Hungary, but...
It's the Smith of Hungary?
It really is.
It's the Wen of Hungary?
There's a lot of people whose last name is Fodor, and Fodor travel guides are great. You can go and get your travel guide for where you're going for the summer vacation, where you're planning, and make a plan for what you're going
to
do.
All right, so in the old days, you would either head over to the bookstore or you'd head over to your local library,
right,
and they had like a whole section of these travel books.
Right.
And there could be Rick Steves' travel books there, because he does a lot of those too. But these Fodor ones are the ones that many of us would have picked up, and they usually list the highlights of your area, like, hey, I'm going to visit Chicago. Oh, these are all the things you should see, a little bit about them. But we've moved that from, I mean, while those books are still available, it's now an app.
Yeah, you've got the app now. You can download that app onto your phone and have all the information that you need for your travel to get to all those hotspots, to find all those incredible places that you might not have known about without it.
And this can be places like Vegas or Orlando or LA, but it also could be places like London and Paris and Frankfurt and all those other fun places
too. We've got so many travel books for London. London is one of those places that we've gone to many times, and because it's a foreign country, you need a little bit of background. You need a little bit of information. The investigations that have been done in these travel guides are fantastic.
Yeah, the nice thing about it is that it's in English.
Yes. that is the nice part about traveling to England is they speak English there.
Oh,
as
geez.
Opposed to here in America. Absolutely.
Wait, was it two countries divided by a common language?
That's right. Excellent. Wherever you're going this summer, think about getting a travel guide. Think about getting one of the apps and downloading all the information so that you can have that with you. Brings us to our Now the News. Speaking of fun summer fun, there are secret courts.
Well, the National Security Agency is being charged right now through a secret court because they were surveilling everyone.
Yes, including U.S. citizens for more than 5 years.
All right. So, but so you could say, well, NSA bad. So we'll slap NSA around. And, and that sounds really bad. But really, the thing that got me on this was secret court.
Yes, there are secret courts.
There's a secret court.
Yes.
You could be tried at a secret court.
And secret Wapner will charge you with your crimes.
Dun, 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 dun. That's right. At the end, you know, they'll have an interview with you.
Yes. Secret Rusty is standing there. The secret bailiff.
Everybody will be blacked out because you can't really tell who they are.
They take you from the secret jail and bring you to the secret court.
And then your voice will be disguised too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is really big news.
So NSA has been, got caught with surveillance.
Yeah.
And then there's a secret court.
And
oh,
we
good
knew
Lord.
About some of this because of Snowden and all the leaks that we've heard about what the government has been able to do for the last, who knows, decade or so. This is not good. This is frightening.
Well, yes, it's Big Brother. This is definitely 1984-ish.
Yeah. And we're doing it to ourselves, which is not what was written in 1984.
No.
It was going to be the government.
Well, this is kind of, well, there's also a Brave New World part of this, too, where we're all like, hey, there's a party.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, get your Google Home and Amazon Echo. Hey, the Amazon Echo has a camera now. Oh, that's a good idea. Let's put that in the bathroom.
Exactly. Hey, the Super Bowl's on. We should probably watch that. All right, but that's not all the that's the bad news. Give me some good news, Steve.
Good news: the patent for the MP3 encoder has not been renewed by the company that owned it, so we now have access to MP3, and we can use it to put out a podcast every Tuesday.
All right, so between CDs and today, we used a technology called MP3s, and what it was allowing you to do was to rip your CD to your computer, and your music became portable. This is what the iPod ultimately did.
Right.
Now, this piece of software is not the highest quality of, you know.
It's a compression algorithm, so it compresses the music in a way that, that is not perfect.
So today, when you use your iPod or your Google Play or any number of things, typically you're getting higher quality sound on the current...
the AAC compression. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, but MP3... It's still pretty good.
It's pretty good.
And pretty portable.
And pretty simple.
And since nothing is patented anymore, that means your stuff can be... There's somebody who's going to create some fun way of using this.
Well, we've been... Like I said, we've been using it for this show for 3 years. MP3 is not the best, but it is the easiest, and it sounds pretty good.
Absolutely. So good for us.
Good for us.
And I'm glad they didn't renew it.
That's right.
But that's not all, Steve.
Well, we've got a lot of game shows that are coming back.
All right, one of my favorite ones were the ones Chuck Barris always put together, the Newlywed Show.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Gong Show.
The Gong Show is coming back.
So the Gong Show I used to watch in the afternoon, and Chuck Barris would clap his hand. We'd have all those players who would try to keep each other from gonging the person. If you're not familiar with this show, let's go ahead and set up. Chuck Barris would introduce these really bad...
It's a talent show. It's America's Got Talent before America's Got Talent.
Well, I mean, it was very similar to David Letterman's Stupid Dog Tricks would probably be a legacy of that.
Yeah.
All right, so this kind of, you know, Gene the Dancing Machine, the unknown comic who would come out and give really bad jokes, but he'd wear a bag over his head.
Yeah.
You know, comedians would come out and stare at the audience. There was always something really odd.
Very entertaining if you like talent shows.
So I'm watching the ad for this new one coming out, and I'm going... So they give this guy, who's Tommy Maitland, I think is what his name is.
A British comic named Tommy Maitland is going to be the host.
And I looked at my wife, I said, yeah, I wonder if that's where Mike Myers got this character from. Well, we think this is Mike Myers.
This is Mike Myers. Mike Myers has created a character from nothing to be the host for the new Gong Show.
So he's going to be the Chuck Barris. He's going to be our host for it.
His name is Tommy Maitland.
And I'm sure he's going to be wild and stupid. And then, of course, we got the Gong Show people who will fight each other to gong these people out and or not to gong them out.
Now, we just need the Battle of the Network Stars to come back.
And that's supposedly
that's coming back.
That's coming back.
We'll see. They've been saying that for years. The interesting fact is they have a hard time getting the people from the other networks to join in.
Well, who wants to get injured?
Well, there is that as well. That was entertainment back in the 70s.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
Along with the Gong Show. Okay, so now that we have all the fun of the 70s, now we have to get to the stark reality of the 21st century. Unfortunately, we've lost a 007.
Oh, we did. We lost Roger Moore.
Roger Moore, unfortunately, passed away this week.
And usually when we have somebody who has a long career that we recognize, there's always the stories that will kind of leak through. So when Robin Williams passed away, we got a lot of great Robin Williams stories, things that he did that were wonderful for other people. This is a fun story concerning Roger Moore and a little boy. A long, long time ago, when he was early James Bond, Roger Moore was at a airport. He's sitting here waiting for a flight, and a little boy, he's 7 years old with his grandfather, says, "Hey, that's James Bond over there. Can I go ask for his autograph?" So he sneaks over and he asks Roger Moore for an autograph. And he signs Roger Moore.
Yeah.
And then he comes back over to his grandfather. He's looking at it and goes, "That's not James Bond."
It doesn't say James Bond. I can read. That doesn't say James Bond.
So they go back over and he winks at him and says something to the effect of, "You know, I'm undercover right now. You're now part of this, and thanks so much.
You're part of the secret. I'm a secret agent, and I signed this name Roger Moore because that's my secret identity." That's beautiful.
So he kind of glows up. He ends up meeting Roger Moore when he was 30 years old.
Right.
And he recounts this, he basically tells this story back to Roger Moore, and Roger Moore is kind of, he doesn't remember it, but of course, you know, he's going to...
He plays along.
Well, he's a very charming guy.
He really was.
And so at the end of the event, Roger Moore comes back over to this 30-year-old guy and says, well, I had to say that, of course, because I'm out in public.
I'm out in public. I'm a secret agent. I can't admit to being James Bond while I'm here in public, 30-year-old man.
Oh, my goodness.
What a beautiful story.
Oh, what a fun guy.
What a fun guy. James Bond is an interesting character. All those actors who have played it have all been so suave, and the actors have been so interesting.
Well, I keep thinking of, like, you think of Roger Moore like you think of Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah.
You think of him like Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
Much more smooth than, you know, or Pierce Bronson. You know,
yeah.
Smoother than the average Joe.
No doubt.
And so, anyway, we're sorry we lost him. Obviously, we were very lucky to have him in our life for as long as we did.
Yeah. We still got Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. We named the dog Indy.
Look at me now, Moneypenny. I can't do a Roger Moore voice. I can do a Sean Connery. I can't do a Roger Moore. So I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think we're clear for next week, as long as we're not on vacation. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-410-4TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can go into your Tesla and say to their Tesla, play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling, and it will find us on iTunes and play it in your Tesla.
What?
All of our listeners who are driving Teslas.
Well, it's a large percentage, I'm sure.
That's right. It's all of them. And you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com, anytime. Find out all the news that you need to survive another day. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hasselblad.
We'll see you in the future.